First Books, number 12.
Thank you. for another Sunday you brought us to. We thank you for a break in the rain. We thank you that we were all able to make it this morning. Thank you for bringing Brother Renzi to us safely. We just pray that you'd be a blessing to us and the words that you'd have him say. And lay on his heart just exactly what message you want him to bring. We pray that everything we say and do would be to your honor and glory. And we pray that each person here would be edified and leave here rejoicing in their hearts that we know where we're going when we die. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 That's good. Speaking of what he was just praying, most of you heard already, I had one really good friend pass away. I had a separate one pass away here recently, and both of them were heavily involved in the children's ministry with the bus that I had at my old church for many years, and the Lord took them home for coming to heaven. And I'm just thinking, 3 years ago, I had a special 40th birthday celebration that my mother set up, and three people who attended that that gathering are now in heaven. Those two plus our pastor. So you never know how long God will give us, and we have to make it count with the time we have. And that's what Solomon just sang for us. Anyway, a couple of announcements here. Don't forget, next Sunday is our year-end banquet. Brother Renzi will be back with us again. And we're going to have a good time of fellowship downstairs following the service. Everybody will bring some good food, I trust, full meal, and we'll have a good time downstairs. We have a lot to be thankful for what God has done for us here in 2018, so it'll be good to rehash some of that, I think. All right, a couple of the other announcements. I have two cards over here on the board. One is for Bill Donches. He hasn't been able to be with us for a while now. I imagine it's probably physical problems that have kept him from being here. His knees have really been bad. But anyway, his birthday was last week, and we missed him. So I got a belated birthday card, so that's over there. You know, we can all sign that, and I'll send it off to him. And then also, we haven't seen Priscilla for a while. And we found out, my mom and I recently, that she's had more physical problems with her heart and other issues. She was in the hospital for a while, and now is in rehab. So I have a card for her to let her know we haven't forgotten about her. And we're praying that the Lord will help her to get better soon. Hopefully we'll see her again real soon. So those cards are over there on the organ, and you can, in between services or at the end of morning service, you can wear a little note of encouragement if you would like. That's pretty much all the announcements I know of right now. Let's get back to singing here. Let's go to 63. I've got peace like a river in my soul. either. I think it really was pastors. But anyway, it's 2:11. Everything's all right in my Father's house.
We'll turn that over to you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's
good to see everybody. It's good to be here this morning. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. So obviously he's had a lot of rain up here, huh?
Yeah.
All right. We had some rain Thursday into Friday, and that was pretty much it. But it was about 1 to 2 inches, I think. So little flooding in some of the areas, but not too bad. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in a moment, I want to get into just a little lesson, if you will, today on the believer's fourfold obligation concerning the Word of God. A fourfold obligation that you and I as believers have concerning the Word of God. Amen. Now, obviously, I was hearing somebody, Brother Jason, a lot of people sick or people getting sick, a lot of sickness going around or something. And something's going around, so let's just pray it stays away from us. Amen. Thank the Lord for His mercy, huh?
Amen.
Anybody want to thank the Lord for His mercy, His grace, His faithfulness? Amen. I'm telling you one thing I'm very thankful for. I'm thankful for the Lord's forgiveness. If it wasn't for His forgiveness, we could not go on. Amen. The only reason we can go on is because He forgives us. Amen. And one of the psalms that David said was, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Thy gentleness hath made me great. You think about that. The Lord's gentleness. The Lord is gentle toward us. Amen. That's how we can get to where He wants us to go. If the Lord gave us what we rightfully deserved, we would get nowhere. Amen. But His very gentle and very patient and very long-suffering. And I'm thankful for that, especially when what I do sometimes is over and over. I'm a repeat offender. Is anybody else a repeat offender? Amen. Oh, boy. I tell you, matter of fact, last time I preached here, we sang that song. I got peace like a river and I got joy. And I remember I got up. I was like, I wish I had that. I wish I could have sung that sincerely. I want to change the hymn, but I don't want you to change it in your book. I want to start singing, "I want joy like a river," or is it peace like a river?
No.
Joy like a fountain. I want joy like a fountain. I want peace like a river. I want love like an ocean. I can't honestly say that I have all that. You know, who probably can? Think about that. Who can sit there singing? There are some songs, brother, I don't know about you, but when I sing them, I get convicted singing them. In my mind, I change the word to the truth. And every once in a while, I'll actually blurt it out and mess up everybody with the hymn, especially if I'm leading it. You know, there's, what's that one song? There's a song I often sing. It's about loving the Lord, you know what I mean? And as I sometimes sing that, I probably love the Lord, but I obviously don't love the Lord to the degree I'd like to love the Lord. You know what I'm saying to you? I mean, I'm sure we all love the Lord to a degree. But I have a hard time singing that as if I'm at the greatest degree. You know what I mean? For the longest time, I've had a hard time ever telling the Lord, "I love you, Lord." For the longest time, I could never say to the Lord, "I love you, Lord," because I never ever thought that I really did love the Lord. To me, you see, I had this understanding that loving the Lord meant you had to be perfect. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, to me, I'm thinking, well, how can somebody love the Lord and keep the commandments of the Lord? You know, how can you can't love the Lord unless you're perfect. That was my thought. Until I start to realize that one of the commands of the Lord to the believer is when you sin, confess it and get it right. When I obey that command, do you know I'm loving the Lord? Think about that. I may have failed the Lord when I sinned, but loving Him, I get back to Him. I confess and I agree with Him. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that, done that, thought that. You know what I mean? So I am loving the Lord. One of the people I would find that probably had the great challenge in their own heart, whether they really loved the Lord or not, would have been Peter at some time. Now, don't forget, Peter, I believe, had a big heart. He had a big mouth, too. He was always opening his mouth. The Lord actually, matter of fact, you think about this. It was because of what he said that the Lord spoke from heaven in one time. Peter and John and James were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Lord was transformed before them, and they saw the glorified Christ. And Peter did not, the Bible says, he didn't know what to say. You know, when we don't know what to say, do you know what we ought to do? Say nothing. We all think sometimes we got to say something. I'm supposed to say something here, you know? And Peter opened his mouth and said, Lord, let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And God had to say something from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear him. In other words, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophet. Together they represent the Old Testament, but Jesus represents God's word at that time. You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you, hear him. You see, what happened was Peter was making Jesus on the level of great Moses and great Elijah. And God said, no, you're wrong. They're not on the same level. This Son of God is not on the level with these. I'm going to make three tabernacles. He's the one and only, not one of three. Amen. Hear him. But Peter opened his mouth and the Lord had to step in and say to him. What I'm saying was Peter had a big heart. And I think in the big heart of Peter, when the Lord said, you know, you're going to forsake me. He said, not me, Lord. Though all these forsake you. In other words, he said, they might, these the other disciples, they might forsake you, but I'll never. And by the way, my encouragement to you is never say never. Now, there's only one, I think, that can say never, and that's the Lord himself. And I thank God he says never. I like when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, when he says never, you can count on it. You can bank on it. When you and I say never, and by the way, we've said it to our spouses at times when we fought. Oh, I'm the only one who fights my spouse. Come on. Well, you know what? I'll never do that again then for you. Or I'll never say, all right, you know what? I'll never do that again. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Can I get a witness on that one? The moment I said it, I meant it. Think about that. I say something, we get into an argument. Yeah, we get into an argument. I lose sometimes, but nonetheless. And I, you know what? I'm never doing that no more. Okay, I'm never doing that no more. And I do it again, eventually. Now, I'll be honest with you. The moment I said I'll never do that, I meant it. Because I didn't want to get into that situation again. But my humanity, my sinful humanity. That's where Paul comes in. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? See, we're dragging around a dead body. I don't understand all the ramifications of what Paul meant, but they say something about being chained to a dead body at that particular time and you'd have to drag it around. And obviously, if you got a dead body, it's going to start stinking. Let me tell you something about the old man. The old man is a dead body. We're alive in our spirit. We've been quickened in the spirit. We've been made alive inside, alive unto God. But we got this dead body that we're still carrying around, and it stinks every once in a while. Remember, Lazarus was dead 4 days. He stinks by now. We carry a stinking body. And now, although we determine we're going to do that, we're not going to do it. What did Paul say in Romans 7? What I want to do, I find myself not doing it. That's the essence. Romans 7 is where Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. The greatest preacher on earth has sinful flesh. And thank God he may keep his sinful flesh in check, but it's still there. He may never tell you his thoughts. He may never tell you his temptations. He may never tell you his desires because he wants to remain a bigwig. But the fact of the matter is, we're all in the same flesh. We're all in the same boat. Amen? There's no man By the way, they say the best of men are men at best. Amen? And so the fact of the matter is, Paul had that issue. Peter had that issue. I'll never. And he did. Now, after he said, I'll never forsake you, though all these forsake you, the Lord said to him, look, Peter, I know what you're saying. I see your heart. You're sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. It's almost like these people that believe in sinless perfection. They believe that once you get saved, you can live a life without ever sinning. I have no idea how they can continue to believe that after a day or two. Amen. I just don't understand it. I don't care how determined you are to be perfect, you'll never be. You and I can determine to be right with the Lord and to be as holy as possible, and we ought to. But be careful that you don't try to seek the total perfection. It'll never be there, because you'll be discouraged because of that. My little children, 1 John chapter 2, John wrote these things. I write these things with you that you sin not. There's an encouragement from the Bible for you and I not to sin. But if any man sin, and the understanding is every man will sin. There's not a man on earth, Ecclesiastes 7:20, that sins not. Amen? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have an advocate. We have a lawyer that represents us. Somebody said it this way, I have a Jewish lawyer who's never lost a case. Amen. He's Jesus Christ. And here's what the term is in 1 John 2:2. The righteous. The righteous one represents me, the unrighteous one. 5 bleeding wounds he bears. Received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayer. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let my ransomed sinner die. Amen. Jesus Christ. You ever hear that song? It's called Arise, My Soul, Arise. You don't have it in the hymn book? It's a wonderful, wonderful hymn, and it's about the fact that Jesus Christ, our mediator, stands for us before God with exceeding joy. Isn't that Jude? I think it is. Verse number 20, is it Jude? He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. Right? That's what Jesus does. God in heaven sees you and I as sinless because of Jesus, not because of us. Amen? In fact, is it in the hymn book? Can we sing that at the end of Sunday school? Amen. We'll do that. I'll save some time. We don't have much time, but I'll save some time. Huh?
You'll have to play it. You don't know that sometimes. We'll sing it.
I don't believe in the gift of fingers.
We can sing it a cappella.
Yeah, but because it's a great song that talks about you and I get our confidence back. It's not in ourselves. We're not confident in ourselves. We're confident in the Lord. By the way, the Bible never says rejoice in you. Again, I say rejoice in you. Why? There's not much in me to rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. We can all rejoice in the Lord because in him is our salvation. In him is our forgiveness and so on. Peter had a big heart. He had a big mouth, and many times he got himself in trouble. If there was ever a time, by the way, after Peter said what he said, I'll never. What happened? He had a weak time, a weak moment. I don't think it was wickedness as it was weakness. Peter got wrapped up in that situation where he was fearful. And 3 times, you were with the Lord. I don't even know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. What happened? The cock crowed twice. Amen. By the way, do you know Peter represents the nation of Israel and all of that? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was sent by the Father. Jesus came after John the Baptist. And then after Jesus ascended, the Spirit of God came down And through Stephen, tried to reach the nation of Israel the third time. And then finally, Stephen preached his message in Acts 7 and said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And then from Acts chapter 8, we find the Spirit of God sending out the Word of God through disciples to the uttermost part out of Jerusalem. The nation of Israel three times denied. They denied the Father through John. They denied the Son himself. And they denied the Spirit of God through the apostles. As a nation, they rejected him. And that's what Peter did three times. Then the cock crowed twice. At the second time the cock crowed, do you know the term the second time is a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus came the first time, but he's going to come the second time. And what happens when Jesus comes the second time? The nation of Israel, the Bible says, they're going to see him and they're going to mourn. And they're going to repent. And they're going, because they're going to see the wounds. And they're going to say, where did you get these wounds? And he say, I got them in the house of a friend. And nationally, those, the Jews, will see him and repent. What happened when Peter, the second time the cock crowed, he saw the Lord. And then he went out. And what did he do? He wept bitterly. He repented over what he had done. Amen? If there was anybody that ever doubted the love of God because of their sinfulness, it would have been Peter. One of the things that the Lord did was he came to Peter. In fact, I want you to look with me for a moment. Turn to John. John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. Our humanity is no excuse to live in sin. But our humanity needs to be understood that it's there. And because of it, we could never be as perfect as we'd like to be. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. We can never be as perfect in this life as we ought to be. We can't do it. Perfection is not what we could ever reach. But that should never cause us to not stop trying. We'll try till the day we die. Amen. But we will fail. And we will fail. And we will fail, and we will fail. I wish it wasn't so. I really do. John chapter number 21. Anyway, I mentioned this. Peter said, I'm not going to do it no more. And here's what the Lord said to him when he said, I'm not going to forsake you like everybody else, mate. The Lord said, Peter, he said this, by the way, Simon, Simon. Think about that. Simon was his name when he first came to Christ. Simon represents his old nature. See, God changed his name from Simon to Peter. Simon represents the old nature. Now Peter's saying, I'm not gonna forsake you. I'm not gonna do like them. And then Jesus said, Simon, Simon. What's he doing? He's saying, hey, old nature, old nature. As much as you'd love to be able to live a certain life, you got that old nature. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. One of the reasons we do fail sometimes too is not just because of our own sinful nature, it's because we got an enemy. Amen. And although we don't seek out our enemy, he seeks us out. You think of the temptation of Christ in Matthew chapter number 4, the Bible says, and when their tempter came to him, hey, the devil came to Jesus. Jesus didn't look for the devil. Amen. And what happened was Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Can I tell you what Jesus prayed for Peter? He prayed for Peter's what? Faith not to fail. Can I say this to you? Jesus did not say to Peter, Peter, I'm praying for you not to fail. He didn't say that. Do you know why? Jesus predicted what Peter would do. Jesus didn't make Peter do it. Jesus predicted what Peter would do. Why didn't Jesus say, Peter, I'm praying for you not to fail me? If Jesus prayed for me right now to live the rest of my life without failing him, his prayer would never be answered. unless he took me right to heaven after that prayer. Can I get a witness? What I'm saying to you is, Peter, you're going to deny that you even know me. You are going to fail me 3 times. Peter, I'm praying for you. Wow. If I knew what you were going to do to me, against me in 10 minutes, and I knew it was going to happen, and I'm anticipating it happening, and yet I'm going to pray for you before it even happens. How about that? By the way, that's why I'm not God, and you're not God. It happened to me yesterday. I was at the stop sign again, and I was there before the bell was, and I let him go. And I waited, actually. I was downtown in Chinatown, and it was crowded and crazy, and this guy was creeping out, and I call him a creep, by the way, now. And I stop in the middle, and I'm hitting my lights, and I'm letting, and he's just dilly-dallying, and he just taking his, and never gave me the, by the way, I hope you do. I don't know if you have, what your situation is up here, but when two people come to a stop sign and they let you go, and you were there, you know, maybe they might have been there first, but they're like, go ahead, and you give me the old thank you. That's what I do. And what happened was I gave him the old, and this guy, like, almost like, well, yeah, you should do that. Can I tell you what I would have loved to do? God knows. I would have loved to hit rewind. If I could have rewinded it, I would have never let the man go. Why? That's ingratitude. And my sinful nature wouldn't have done it. I'm only being honest with you. What I'm saying to you is, if I knew what he would have done, I would have dealt with him differently. And I'm telling you that Jesus is not like us. He knows what you're going to do. By the way, what you already did was already future to what past, actually. He was already past. He knew what you were going to do. And yet didn't react and react. I don't even know if you can call that reaction. How do you react with what you know somebody's going to do? They didn't do it yet. Think about that. I'm praying for you. I know what you're going to do against me, but I'm praying for you. But here's the key prayer. Not that you don't fail. I'm praying for you that your faith fails not. Your faith. What is your faith? What is your faith? Think about that. You're going to fail, Peter. You're going to fail me 3 times. You are going to fail. Think about that. By the way, when we fail the Lord, especially when we're people that are trying to live for the Lord, what do we get? When you fail the Lord, what do you get? Anybody? Begins with a D. Discouraged. Especially when you fail, egregiously. When you outright, I don't even know him. Been hanging with him for however many years, been close to him, but knowing who he is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we know who you are, and where else can we go? And then later on, I don't even know him. You understand what I'm saying here? Failing like that. Failing like David. Failing by standing on a rooftop and seeing a naked lady. Inquiring about her, maybe wanting to add her to your women. Finding out because God sent somebody to say, hey, that's somebody else's wife. That's God trying to put a roadblock up. And the man after God's own heart says, well, go get her for me anyway. You understand what I'm saying here? Failing in such a way where it's technically iniquity. It's willful sin, right? If you're a man after God's own heart, if you're a Peter that has a big heart, but yet you get into this situation, you're going to feel discouraged. You're going to feel down. Why do you think Jesus said to Peter, here's what I'm praying for, Peter. In light of the fact that you're going to fail me the way you're going to fail me, my prayer for you, Peter, is that your faith fail not. You will fail me. You will sin against me. You will do wrong against me. But my prayer is, although you fail, I'm praying your faith don't fail. Why? Because if there's anything that's going to bring you back from your failure, it's going to be your faith. some people become what the Bible calls shipwrecked. If your faith is gone, you get shipwrecked. A shipwrecked is a ship that can't do nothing, can't carry nothing, can't go nowhere. It's stuck. And the Lord says, look, you're going to fail me. You're going to sin. You're going to do wrong. But my prayer for you is that your faith doesn't fail. Your faith in me. Your faith in my love. Your faith in my forgiveness. You see, you and I, we have to believe. Even in spite of and in light of our faults and our failures, we have to believe he still loves me. There's nothing can separate me from the love of God. His love is unquenchable. Unquenchable, even according to the book of Song of Solomon. Many waters cannot quench real love. Amen? And that's something you and I need to understand tremendously. Though we may doubt how much we love the Lord, we should never doubt how much the Lord loves us. Amen? And that's the key. In our faults and failures, we get discouraged. And by the way, let me say this, brothers and sisters in Christ. When you and I fail the Lord, I personally think the devil jumps on us real quick. You see, when you fall down, the devil, first thing he hits is your faith. Oh, this is it. Oh, you've gone too far. Oh, it's over now. Oh, you might as well just forget. By the way, this ain't Bible. In other words, these ain't words coming from the Word of God for your benefit. These are words coming from the devil for your discouragement. Amen? That's what he jumps on. To me, the sinful brother or the sinful sister who does some fault or failure, to me, that's blood trickling from an animal where the wolf is just seeking you out. Amen? The devil, the lion, if you will. The devil jumps on our faith. To keep us down. Why? If he can keep us discouraged, he can keep us down. Amen? You and I need to understand. Listen to this. Galatians, I believe it's chapter 5, verse number 6. Faith worketh by love. When you know somebody loves you, you can put your faith and trust in them. Amen? Peter probably had a hard time. Think about that. Peter probably had a hard time. How can I love the Lord? I know him. Flesh and blood didn't reveal to me who he really was. The Father opened up my eyes to see who Jesus really is. I really saw him. I really knew him. And yet I was able to deny that. If anybody ever wondered, I don't love the Lord. I can't love the Lord. It had to be Peter. Look at John 21. I think it's John 21. Look at verse number 14. Well, look at verse 9 to get some context. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. By the way, Peter and the others went back to fishing after, you know, they had forsaken the Lord. And Jesus met with them as he said he would. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter, by the way, now you got Simon Peter. That's the dual nature of the believer. Simon's the old name. Peter's the new name. Every believer has the old man and the new man, right? Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Boy, that's a call to fellowship right there. That's a call to fellowship right there. Think about that. They had forsaken him. Yet he's coming to meet with them, to dine with them. That's a call to fellowship. It's almost like that Revelation 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him. And it says this, and none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise, he feeding them. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, there's, we probably heard this, there's a great debate over what the these are in this text. Some believe it's referring to the fish. Do you love me more than the fish? Some are saying, do you love me more than the other disciples? I lean toward that. You see, I think Peter thought he may have loved the Lord more than the other disciples did. Because he said this, though all these forsake you, I won't. Lord, they might not love you enough to be faithful to you, but I won't. But yet they all did forsake him. I personally think Jesus is saying, now do you think you love me more than they do? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse number 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son. By the way, he denied him three times, right? And now he's being asked three times, do you love me? You know, I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I understand I'm not an expert when it comes to Greek and Hebrew and all that other stuff. And I know there's different uses of the word love here. Understand, you know, that. And I'm not trying to get all into that. There is one thing I'm trying to get out of this, and that's this. I don't think the Lord's asking Peter, do you love me, so that the Lord knows that he loves him. In other words, I don't think Jesus needed to ask Peter in order for Jesus to really know where Peter was. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. Jesus already knows. I'll tell you my personal opinion. I personally think Jesus was trying to convince Peter, in spite of what you did, Peter, you do love me. In spite of what you did, you do love me. To me, I get from this, you don't have to be perfect to love the Lord. You don't have to be perfect to love the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about going off and living in willful. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about a man that's got a heart to live for God, but got this flesh and he gets tripped up and flipped up every once in a while. Amen. I put it this way. Falling going up the steps rather than going down the steps. In other words, if I'm trying to do right and I'm trying to go up for the Lord, I'm trying to go higher, you know what I mean? I'm trying to live for God. By the way, that's the goal in life as Christians, right? To try to go higher for the Lord, to live for the Lord in more, you know, higher plane, amen? But as I'm trying to go higher and I'm trying to go holier and I'm trying to live for God, hey, I may trip up the steps. That's okay. But I don't want to be tripping, running away from the Lord. Amen. There's a big difference. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And then Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You and I are sinful beings. And we may, thank God, we may have hearts for the Lord to try to live for the Lord, but we're going to have our faults and failures, and God knows. But may God help you and I in our faults and failures to realize and always remember, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Amen. One of the great illustrations in the Bible, as you well know, is the prodigal son's father. I mean, that prodigal, he wanted what he wanted. He wanted his own stuff. He wanted his own thing. He wanted to go his own way. He took his own journey. Wasted everything that he had. And he wound up hitting rock bottom. Contemplated his father and his father's house. Determined to get back up and to go back home. I believe his father loved him. His father was anticipating, waiting, hoping for his son to come home. And when the father saw the son making his way, it says this, he was a great way off. And his father ran down to meet him and fell on him and kissed him. Listen, the father loved the son. The son took what he took, went where he went, did what he did, but that never stopped the father from loving his son. And when his son came to his senses and came back to the father forgave him. The father restored him. You recall that. In fact, that son told his father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me a servant. And the father didn't retaliate and didn't react. Why? If we judge ourselves, he'll not judge us. And that son was judging himself to the father, and the father didn't need to add on to it. He just forgave him and loved him and restored him and killed the fatted calf. Amen? Turn to Psalm 86, if you would, please. I'm just saying, you and I are loved by our Father. And listen, He understands and He knows our sinful condition. Amen? And thank God for His mercy. It's Psalm 86. Those of us that have children, especially when they're younger, we do not expect and we do not anticipate perfect children. Have you ever done that? Have you expected or anticipated your children to be perfect and never do wrong? You didn't do that. You weren't so senseless. But didn't it upset you when they do wrong? Amen? But the fact of the matter is, you understand your child is a human being, a sinful human being. And you love your child, amen, no matter what. You and I have a Father. In fact, He loves us. And He knows our frame. Amen? He knows we're but dust. Look at Psalm 86, verse number 5, if you would, please. For Thou, Lord, art good. And notice the next statement. Ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. And then plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon Him. Mercy is God not giving us what we rightfully deserve. God has plenty of mercy. I like the thought of ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. Do you know what marriages would be great if we were ready to forgive? Amen? Anticipating. By the way, to be ready to forgive means to be ready to understand that somebody's going to do you wrong and that you need to forgive. Amen. Why don't we, obviously we're not going to do the lesson that I had, but I hope and pray that you and I would just be thankful for the Lord's mercy, faithfulness, forgiveness. Amen. Love and so on.